Hey friends, I'm here with Barry Laubrich, Azure Barry on Twitter. You should follow him, twitter.com/AzureBarry. And Barry is one of our first people to come on Azure Friday who doesn't work at Microsoft. And this is important because I wanted you to keep it real. I wanted you to talk to me about Azure for .NET developers because you're not selling anything. You don't work at Microsoft.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've also put together a free ebook though that we can check out. And we made a small URL for you, so aka.ms. Azure for .NET devs, and you really are focusing on Azure from a .NET developer's perspective.
Exactly, yeah. So this is a free ebook that I co-wrote with a bunch of Microsoft employees, and it explains why Azure is cool for .NET devs and how you can get started. Mm-hmm. So this is cool for .NET developers that are new to Azure, but also for .NET developers that already are familiar with Azure, but just want to know which services are out there for me as a .NET dev, and which tools can I actually use?
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from, and sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes people say, well, Azure.NET people should use only app service.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of choices out there,
there's
and it's
a
hard
lot
to
more
make
out
those
there.
Decisions.
Exactly, yeah. So in the book, we actually cover a couple of things. We cover what can Azure do for you as a .NET developer, and then we cover a bunch of services. So it's kind of a service catalog. So like you said, app services, but also things like CDN, which are very useful, containers, all that stuff for running your applications in .NET or in Azure. Things for storing data in Azure, securing your .NET applications in Azure, and all the other Azure services like media services, IoT Edge, IoT Hub. There are many, many services. Mm-hmm. Those are all listed in here. And more importantly, there's also a section about the tools that you can use for developing, debugging, and troubleshooting your .NET applications in Azure.
So do you think that this book is a kind of a decision tree to make the right decision for your application? Because everyone's application is different.
Yeah, kind of. It also contains tables where you can see, you know, what do I want to use for running my application? Which one, which services are the best picks for me? Mm-hmm. So you can just use that to pick the best services for you.
Okay. Because Azure for some beginner .NET devs is just putting a website up.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And for some older .NET devs, and by older I mean they've been in the business for a long time, perhaps they will take a SQL Server and they'll get IIS and they'll talk to each other. But to have real true cloud scale, there's techniques and things that you can do to make your application scale both horizontally and vertically.
Exactly. And you can do that very basically with a slider. You can scale up and down. Or you can do it much more advanced as well with automatic scaling and all that stuff.
Right, things like Service Fabric and other things we've talked about
exactly.
on the show. And now, when I get Visual Studio, do I have all the tools that I need to be a .NET developer in Azure?
Not yet, per se, and I want to show you how to get those tools. So in Visual Studio 2017, let me show you that here. When you go to Tools, and Get Tools and Features, you actually go to the Visual Studio Installer. And in here, you see all the workloads that Visual Studio can run.
So those are things. A good reminder. You can run the installer multiple times even after you've installed Visual Studio.
And it's actually very quick in Visual Studio 2017.
That's nice to know.
Yes. So you can have workloads for .NET desktop development, for instance, but also for Azure. And that's this one here. And when you click on this and you install this, you get all sorts of features in Visual Studio to work with Azure very easily.
So a workload is the word for that box that then installs a number of features.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's for Visual Studio 2017, but if you're running Visual Studio 2015, for instance, you can also download the SDK on this page here and other tools to work with, for instance, Azure Functions or Azure Cosmos DB. There's a local emulator, all that stuff.
That's cool. That's nice to know that people on a different version of Visual Studio aren't left behind.
Exactly. So when you actually have this workload installed on Visual Studio 2017, you get a bunch of things.
Okay.
So first of all, when you do File New Project, you get a new category that's called Cloud. And as you see here, you get to start Azure Functions, for instance, a project, Azure Cloud Services, resource groups, and all sorts of other things for the cloud out of the box. And it's very easy. And you also get the ability to publish things to the cloud very easily. So for instance, I have here an ASP.NET Core application, very simple one. And now, because I have that workload installed, I can just right-click on the project, and I can say Publish, and then I can pick Microsoft Azure App Services, for instance, and then I can just publish it to there. And from here, I can create a new app service if I want to, with a new resource group and a new app service plan. I don't have to go to the Azure portal. I do all of that just from here, from Visual Studio. And that's very powerful.
So people who already have Visual Studio 2017 on their machine, but maybe haven't kind of dipped their toe into Azure yet, just need to go and run the installer again or go to the tools menu and say get features. They can add this And then these will light up in different places within Visual Studio.
Exactly, yeah. So it's very easy to do, and you get very powerful features, like for instance this, publishing to Azure and creating an app service from scratch there. So I've actually already published this application in Azure, and once you've done that, you get something like this with an .azurewebsites.net extension.
Okay.
And that's this website that we see here. We're going to play with that later. Another thing that you get out of the box is then the Cloud Explorer. And that's this little thing here. And this allows you to see all the services that you have in Azure and to examine them and to work with them. Like for instance, the storage account. Here I can just drill down into it and actually work with it and see my blobs. There are other tools for that as well, like the Azure Storage Explorer. But when you have this workload enabled, you can just do it from Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very cool. And like I said, I've already published this application to Azure. So here you can see it. It's web application with a big number behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And from here, I can do things like actually stop it, or see the streaming logs, or attach a debugger, and just debug the whole thing from here. That's very cool.
So you can do all of that within Visual Studio. Is the intent to keep you out of the Azure portal, or just that you just don't need to go up there much because you're living in Visual Studio anyway?
It's not per se the intent to not keep you out of that portal, but just to have everything at your fingertips in Visual Studio because you are living in there anyways.
Mm.
You are there anyways, so why leave and disrupt your productivity?
Very cool.
So another thing that you also get is the local storage account that comes with the Azure workload, and you see that here. This is actually a storage emulator that runs locally on my machine. I can just use that just like I use Azure Storage that's actually in Azure.
Oh, okay. So I could be writing an ASP.NET application that talks to Azure Storage, and I could be doing it on an airplane because I have my own local version of
exactly.
Azure Storage.
Exactly, yeah. And there are lots more local tools,
mm-hmm.
like the runtime for Azure Functions, for instance,
yeah.
the Cosmos DB local emulator, and more coming, like Service Fabric is already there. So those things you can use to do local development on Azure when you're on a plane, for instance.
Very cool.
So that's very cool. So like I said, you can also debug things from here. So things that are actually running in the cloud, you can just click debug and then you attach the debugger to here. And one very cool feature there is that you can attach the snapshot debugger.
Mm.
And what that is that it allows you to debug something that is actually running in production without stopping it.
I see, because if you attached a debugger to something, that everyone stops, all threads stop, we're now debugging, and you would never want to do that in production.
Exactly, because then your application is paused, and then your users have a problem, and you don't want that. So this application here, I can now just debug that in production, and I actually have the snapshot debugger already attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you see here. This is the snapshot debugger in practice. And if you look at this code here, sorry, then you see that I'm doing a couple of things here in the about action of the controller.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a count that says you are visitor number count. And then it just shows that.
I see.
But when I've done that, when I've actually hit this about page, you can see that here.
Right.
I can just continue with my application.
So the application is still live and in production.
Yeah. But I also have a snapshot that is now collected because I've actually hit that thing. So it's a bit different than a breakpoint. A snapshot is just a snapshot of the application at a certain point in time
mm-hmm.
where the breakpoint used to be.
Right, and it feels like debugging because it is debugging. You've got your local, you're not at a breakpoint, you're at a snap point. And then at this point, you see your call stack and really what's going on in production.
Exactly.
This is great for those experiences where I don't know why it works this way, but it's working differently in production than it is on my local machine.
Exactly. Plus you have the full debug experience that you have when you're debugging, but now with the production app still running. And this is available only for .NET applications.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very powerful for .NET developers that are using Azure.
Yeah, so .NET people, Azure is a natural extension for what they're used to doing. You've got all these Visual Studio tools, and then you've got benefits that other languages and other platforms don't have, like being able to do snapshot debugging.
Exactly. So tools like these and the other tools like the function, local tools, Cosmos DB emulator, and all sorts of other tools in Visual Studio
mm-hmm.
are the things that we describe in that free ebook that you can download.
Okay. Maybe you could bring up that URL one more time. We'll check that out. That was aka.ms/azure4.netdevs. Spell that out, D-O-T-N-E-T, devs. That's a free ebook we can check out, and people can follow you at AzureBerry on Twitter.
Exactly.
Fantastic. I am learning all about how Azure makes .NET devs that much better here on Azure Friday.